morning, our reading for the epistles and for the sermon comes out of a book of Hebrews, as Dawson read earlier, but I'll read it again because it's a good passage of scripture, important for us to hear. So I invite you to hear these words, starting at verse 1 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, and we'll go through verse 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. I think I'll go on a little further. It's good stuff here. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastises every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children. For what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not as children. Moreover, we have had human parents discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not even be more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. They disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now discipline has always seemed painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Believe me, I was not planning on just going on reading forever there. I did have a stop point as I was going to go on and read. But I think this passage of scripture, though, I mean, I love those first three verses, that paint that image of running a race and how really that metaphor of living in faith, of running, you know, our lives as a race with perseverance, and we complete that race at the end. And we go and we live in that life everlasting. It is a beautiful metaphor. It's a metaphor that in the time of this writing, I mean, folks would have understood, they would have embraced, because there were races that were run frequently. I mean, track really would have been, you know, the sport of the age, you know, in that first century. You know, going to races was a big thing. It's a thing that also people across, you know, the economic spectrum could go and enjoy, not just a select few, but many. But when I think of this passage here, and I think about our examination as we're going through the Apostles' Creed and looking at that line there, the communion of saints. Now that line right there, I'll be honest, when I put this series together and the calendar here, I did not realize that today would be Communion Sunday also on putting this together, but it's a beautiful reminder, though, for us when we have communion and we're looking at the communion of the saints line of the Apostles' Creed, because it shows us that connection that we have with God, the connection that we have with each other, but also that connection that we have with those who have gone before us and those who are coming after us. This line, the communion of the saints, it's a reminder for us, and it's a statement that we share because we recognize that we are here today. We are here in this place because of those who have gone before us. We're here because of those who have run that course of faith in their lives, those who have shown perseverance, those who have worked hard, those who have instructed us, those who have even disciplined us. You know, if you think about that word there out of the reading, those who have shared the love of God with us. We're here because others have gone before us. We're here because our God has gone before us, and Christ has gone before us as well. Part of the difficulty, I believe, of being a human being is that, you know, our lives in the great course of history are not that long. I mean, I mean, my grandparents, I mean, they live, you know, into their 80s and their 90s. And right now my phone is dinging right here because I'm sure it's my brother texting me a picture of my niece who has done something amazing. That's the ding that's going right here. But, our, you know, our people have gone ahead of us, you know, and my grandparents, I think especially, you know, their advanced age, especially when I was young, I thought nobody was older than grandpa, you know. But they lived in their 80s and their 90s, good lives, their long lives there. But in the grand scheme of things, even 80 or 90 years is not that long. We're here because of a tradition that goes back, you know, 2,000 years. We're here because of a tradition that even goes further back. If you look at our roots in ancient Israel and in the Old Testament, our roots go back thousands of years. So we can see how God has been at work in the world, how God has worked with his people, you know, throughout the course of history to bring us here to this place. And part of it, I believe, what's amazing about, you know, Christianity and part of why we're able to be here is because we value those who have gone before us. When we look at the writings, you know, of those in the early church, of those who have you know, were influential in their time, their writings still have meaning and impact for us today. We can look back to, you know, like Polycarp, you know, this is going way back 200 B.C., or not, excuse me. And then you have, you know, Augustine, who is so influential to those such as, you know, Martin Luther and to John Wesley. Thomas Aquinas, I mean, these are just a sampling of people who have gone before us, whose writings, whose teaching, you know, inspired generations of Christians later on in life. And then even like, you know, Luther and Wesley, we look at their writings, their lives, and how they impacted us today. And part of it, I believe, is our Christian tradition allows that recognition. We recognize those who have gone before us and their sacrifice, and in teaching others, discipling others, so we could be here. And on a more personal level, we can think about those who have impacted our faith directly. Our teachers from, you know, when we were perhaps in Sunday school, or perhaps, you know, later in life as adults, those who have instructed us, those who have mentored us, those who have, you know, shared their lives, you know, with us because of their love of God, because of the love of Christ that's in their lives that they have shared with us so generously. And so when we come to that line, the communion of saints, we recognize all those who have gone before us, and we give thanks for them. We give thanks for those who have shared their lives with us, and we give thanks for those who have completed their course of faith, who have completed their race, and we thank God for them. But when we think about where we are right now, in this Sunday in Lent, at this line of the Apostles' Creed, when we take a look at the communion of saints for us in our space, the question that comes to my mind is, how are we connecting? How are we discipling those who are coming after us? How are we sharing the faith with those who are in our lives now, so they will have that hope and that love and the grace that comes from God? I give thanks for those in this church here who are committed to the education of our children and our youth, who share and give of their time, their ministry of sharing, you know, God's love and the teaching from the Bible. I mean, is it so important? I'm at a loss for words even, because it instructs those who are coming so they will have the faith that will carry them through their course and their race and life. But I believe for each and every one of us, we don't have to be a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader to have impact on those around us so they will know God, so they will have that grace and be a part of the church and the communion of saints. We have people in our lives who have been placed with us whom we can share that love of God. we can share that love and that grace that has been so freely given to us. It might be, you know, folks we work with. It might be folks whom we see at the post office. It might be folks who come to our door. You know, it could be the delivery drivers that are dropping off packages. Because even showing, you know, a little bit of that love, that kindness, that grace that can come, you know, from God, even if it's just for a moment, it could have an impact on their life, on their day. And I believe for those whom we interact regularly with, you know, living out our faith, being a people of God, you know, living as our faith matters to us, can have an impact. It brings God into that space. It brings the love of Christ into that space. And it brings, you know, that love of God, that love of God, that love of Christ into contact with other people who may need that grace and that love in their lives. So, brothers and sisters, as we have shared in the bread and the cup today, as we recite these ancient words in the Apostles' Creed, as we look back in Scripture and see how we are called to be a light, you know, into the world, how we are the salt of the earth, but how we are called to be a part of that race, to be grounded in God, to be instructed in the faith, so we can share that love with others and that love of God and that grace of God with others. It can seem overwhelming, but I believe when we're looking at the whole big picture here, we see that we are a part of something greater than ourselves. But more importantly, we see how much greater God's love and grace for us is. We see how great the big picture is. How great that love of God is for us. It can seem overwhelming, it can seem like a tall order, but we don't do this work by ourselves. For our God is with us, for Christ has gone before us, and the Holy Spirit is with us. So we share the love of God, the grace that we receive from Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let us be a part of that communion of saints. Let us be a part of the church. And let's be a part of the hope that God has for us through Christ. So others will know. So the next generation will know. And so that others will have the everlasting life and that new beginning now and forever. Amen.